everybody.
Hello!
We are here with Boy Oh Boy Conversations with Gray and JC Grayson.
JC.
What's up?
Not a lot. How you doing?
I mean, I'm doing fine. I'm really tired. I feel a little sore, but I'm not working today, and we just had like a week of vacation, so things could be way, way, way worse, you know?
Yeah, I would argue that it was a pretty good week. I'm pretty tired. I'm a little sore.
Uh-huh.
But, like, I'm chilling.
Okay. This is such good news. I figure the listening audience, they know. They've been waiting with bated breath for this episode 403 of Boy Oh Boy, because, well, we're going to get to recount the Chicago trip. This is not an episode on the Chicago trip. No, no. We waited for all of it to be wrapped up with a nice little bow. Well, no, we waited for it to wrap up, and now this podcast is going to be the bow. Is that an okay way of looking at it?
Sure.
Okay, I appreciate it. You don't sound that enthusiastic.
I don't know, man. I'm still out of it from the trip.
Out of it. Okay, I understand. Well, I mean, we can kind of describe what happened. One of the more pressing things to get to might be how the gift exchange went. We spent a lot of time, and I mean a lot of time, here on the podcast discussing the rules that would make up our gift giving. It was both of our birthdays, Grayson. This trip took place right in the crack between August 6th and August 16th, our birthdays. It's Leo season, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so we had this whole well-orchestrated, beautifully structured gift-giving game to play in Chicago. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Yes. And we were going to each have to, guys, it's really simple, actually, because there are three tiers of gift. One of them $0 to $10, one of them $10 to $20, and one of them $20 to $40. And we have to go ahead and buy the gift without the other person catching the other person and getting it signed by Steven with the receipt. And then if that happens, everything's well, you got the gift for them successfully. But if that doesn't happen and you got caught, then you have to buy them another gift at $0 to $10. Does that track?
Yeah. Also, other rule, you can only buy one gift a day.
Oh, yeah, only one gift achievable a day. So really simple stuff, you know, typical run-of-the-mill gift-giving procedure, as far as I'm concerned. And we had that all set out for our Chicago trip instead of our usual birthday gift exchange where we just get each other gifts. And I have to say, despite being there for a week, it was still somehow too convoluted and difficult to do successfully.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ended up getting you, I believe, the first day, your $20 tier gift, which was a bouquet of flowers from Walgreens.
I believe they are still in the Airbnb.
You did leave them there. You didn't take your flowers with you, which I found highly disrespectful, but whatever. I also got you two whole magnets from the Harry Potter store as your $10 and below gift.
Yep.
You liked those? One of them had Dobby on it from, well, Harry Potter, you know? The other said Harry Potter, New York. Did you like the New York one?
That one was better.
Oh, that's shocking, actually. But I'm so happy to hear you loved every one of those gifts. And then for your final gift, I got you some socks with a painting on it that you really like, and two finger puppets, and one more undetermined gift until you tell me to buy you something in the $10 to $20 range. I don't know
how. Hog.
Yeah, I don't quite. We bent the rules a lot, if I'm being honest. We mangled how this competition was supposed to go down, but ultimately that's okay, you know?
I would agree.
Yeah.
I think that turned out okay.
And what gifts did
you
get me?
What are the things I got you? Yeah. I got you the art book, which was my top tier gift.
Woo! You got me a book from the Art Museum, the Art Institute of Chicago, with a bunch of paintings in it. I went through it with Brandy just last night.
I got you a little figurine of Monty Mole as my lowest tier gift.
From Walgreens.
Mm-hmm. Did I get you a middle tier gift?
You did. It was a Zendaya pop-up dress-up book.
Ah, yes, of course.
You get a basically naked and bald Zendaya cardboard cutout, but a miniature one, and then you can attach clothes to her.
Congrats on that, man.
I mean, I don't know why congratulations are in order, but I appreciate it nonetheless. Thank you very much. So I stuffed it right in my closet with the last Zendaya gift I got, which was from Steven, and it was her action figure from one of the from the Spider-Man films. So the Zendaya collection is growing, I'm pleased to announce.
That really is wonderful, I think.
Yeah. And then Steven, you know what he got me for our birthday?
What'd he get you?
He got me a Tung Sahor plush.
That's so sweet. He got me a Moomin plush.
A Moomin plush? So he knows us so well. Our two primary interests in plush form. I adore it. I set my Tung Sahor next to my Richard Simmons plush. And I believe there's also a yellow duck with a cow print cowboy hat in my closet. So they're all hanging out together, the three of them. It's really a beautiful situation I got going on.
Did Hans get you anything on this trip?
Hans got me Scrabble Slam, a card version of Scrabble, which we never even got to play.
Oh.
Yeah, but I'm excited. It's a new edition of Scrabble to add to my growing collection.
He got me the novelization of The Adventures of Indiana Jones, as well as a Moomin video game.
So I see who he loves more, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, he killed it with my gifts.
I mean, the Scrabble Slam is cool and all, but I didn't get any novelizations, you know? Which is tough. It's a really tough pill to swallow. It's okay.
Well,
it's
just, would you ever want, like, a Big Brother novelization?
I don't think that exists, so you would have to create it from scratch.
Wouldn't that be cool, though?
If you created it from scratch? Absolutely. Like,
I don't think I'm going to do that.
No, you'd have to, like, watch the show to make that happen, I fear.
Yeah, that's not...
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that.
Maybe it could be, like, little illustrations of some of the biggest moments in Big Brother history, you know, or like artistic renderings, you know, maybe biggest moments or like biggest characters, like caricatures, something to that effect. But a novelization would be so difficult. You'd have to like pick a single season, you know?
Yeah, no, it definitely have to be one season for the novelization.
Yeah, but I have faith that you and ChatGPT can figure it out.
Oh, it would be ChatGPT writing it.
Yeah, I kind of gathered as much. When really, you have a great resource. You have a great well of knowledge in that of BIM and Chargal. You could get them to write it for you.
Well, Chargal, I don't think, would ever do me a favor like that.
Oh, wow. Don't you think that she may, because it's technically more a favor for me?
Perhaps.
Okay, good.
But BIM might do it, I think.
Yeah.
It would just take about 3 years.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, her favor meter for you is really reached the bottom at the moment. You know, it's got to get some time to recharge. Her favor meter, you worked it overtime.
I really did.
Yeah, and I mean, it was no fault of your own. Like, you didn't ask for the favor, but
she took very long with said favor, so I don't feel as bad about it.
Yeah, no, that's true. She made you wait, you know? She certainly made you wait. I feel like the one that there could be an actual novelization of would be like Rocky Horror Picture Show or like Donnie Darko, where it's a more classic film. But Big Brother works.
You know? Nah, it's got to be Big Brother.
It's got it. Do you even know what season?
Which season is Dr. Will Kirby on?
He's on a couple of them. He's on Big Brother Season 7 and he's on Big Brother Season 2.
It'll be on Big Brother Season 2.
Oh, okay. I mean, that'd be interesting. But if you're going to watch that one, it is a slog to get through because it's before they really figured out the show and how to make it.
Oh, like, to be clear, I'm not watching any of this.
Oh, okay. Okay.
If anything, I'm going to go into ChatGPT and I'm going to say, hey, these people with these names are all trapped in a house. Give me a novel of their adventures.
Ooh. You know what?
That'd be beautiful. And just see what it spits out.
That would be something beautiful, Greer the Gray. I think so. 9/11 happened during season 2, so I hope there are a couple pages on that. Monica, who got third place that season, she had family that died in 9/11, and they told her about it.
That's insane. Why would they tell her?
Because it was a national tragedy. They were the last people in the country to learn. That's how they marketed it. You know?
So it was a marketing ploy.
I mean, I think it would have been really weird for them not to mention 9/11 at the time. You know, I wasn't there. Like, I was alive, but I wasn't watching Big Brother. I was 0 years old, I do believe. And no, I was freshly one, actually. And I feel like just given the climate and this being like a live show being updated day to day, it would have been really strange for them not to do anything about 9/11, you know? Like, letting them know is the bare minimum, especially if someone died.
I guess. I don't know, man.
Uh-huh. You would have preferred they waited till they were out of the house and just learned it organically?
Not organically, but like, hey, when they're exiting the house, be like, hey, we got a briefing for you. While you were in the house, X, Y, and Z happened.
Yeah. Like, last season, everyone missed out on the Trump assassination attempt.
I feel like that's not nearly as big.
As 9/11?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I see how it is. Well, yeah, no, I look forward to the novelization. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and I look forward to it. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anything else on the gift-giving front?
I don't know. It kind of fell apart. At one point, we considered just pooling our $40 gifts and getting Steven something.
Yeah.
But even that didn't work.
No, we couldn't really find a gift that was $80 that fit the boy, you know? We found a gift that was $25 that he expressly wanted, but we never wandered back to that store. Everyone was too tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. Which was a little unfortunate, Gray the Gray. But let's talk about it. Chicago day one. Do you remember what we did the day we arrived from the airport?
We wandered around a long time with our luggage, which kind of sucked.
We really did. Actually, before that, before we even got to Chicago, there was a surprise in store. We were sitting together, you, me, and Steven. We got to the airport about like 2 hours early. So we get some breakfast. We hang out at Beer Drop, one of the bars at the Austin airport. And who moseys on up behind us? Aside from the Hans.
Whoa!
He surprised you. He was on our same flight connecting to Chicago.
Yeah, I really hope he was telling the truth about it being the cheapest tickets. Because if not, then that's... What a waste of money.
I feel like he wouldn't have lied about it. I feel like at that point he'd just be like, oh yeah, I paid a little extra so I could be on the same flight. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, I think so. But I don't think it was a waste, because both flights there and back from Chicago, because we had four of us, we were able to strategically position ourselves to get an entire row of six on both flights to ourselves, no one in the middle seats, you know?
Honestly, that's true. Shout out to Hans for that. I just more meant, like, what a miserable place to hang out.
Oh, like at the Austin airport?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we were only together there for, like, what, like 25 minutes before boarding anyways, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it's, like, it's the worst place to hang out, so if you put any extra effort into being there with, like.
I think the thought is more so, like, getting to be on the plane together, you know, and, like, arriving at the same time.
I suppose. I maybe looked at Hans, because you were next to Hans on the way there. I was next to Hans on the way back.
That's not true. I was next to you on the way there.
Oh, dang, you're right. So you didn't interact with Hans at all on the
flight? No, we were on opposite windows. I didn't get to sit by Hans on either flight.
L for you. So I guess Steven sat with him on the way there, and then I sat with him on the way back. On the way back, we tried at one point to make it so he could watch a movie with me, but he doesn't have AirPods, so that didn't work.
Grayson, will you tell the story? Are you okay if I... This is unprecedented for boy, oh boy. I'm about to piss myself. I didn't realize how bad I have to go piss. Can you tell this story about Hans on the airplane while I piss really quick? I'll be listening.
I guess so, yeah.
Okay, draw it out. Make it really detailed, okay?
I will do my best.
Okay, I'll be right back.
So, for anyone who doesn't know, if you have AirPods in an Apple device, you can connect multiple AirPods at the same time in order to make it possible for you to share audio among multiple people who are utilizing AirPods. and before we got on the flight, I had said, hey, does anyone want to watch a movie with me? Han said, I would. And I was like, brother, do you have AirPods? And he was like, no, but that should be fine. It shouldn't matter. And I was like, okay, if you say so. Han's a tech guy. He knows a little bit better than me, so I assumed he might have been correct. So I had my little movies downloaded. I was going to watch Princess Mononoke. Pull it up. Connect my headphones. Then I go to connect Hans's. Connect his. But that disconnects mine. And then I reconnect mine, and it disconnects his. Because it only works with AirPods. So I don't... Yeah. So that didn't work, and then we couldn't watch the movie together. One of the devastating things, though, I actually had a second set of AirPods. I just didn't have them charged. So if I had thought of that sooner, I could have charged them. And we probably could have actually done it.
Okay. I'm back.
So that kind of sucks.
I'm back. Don't fret. I know you were fretting. Grayson, that was a wonderful telling of the story. I appreciate
it. Thank
you. Of course, I have a question. Why not simply share one AirPod each?
Because that'd be awful. What are you talking about?
Why would that be awful? I've done that so many times.
No, I hate that.
Why?
Because then I wouldn't even get the noise canceling.
But then... it's not because it's going to be the best audio experience. It's because it's going to be a shared experience, you know?
Okay, a shared experience that makes us both miserable?
Miserable is what it would be to watch a movie with one AirPod.
Yes. On an airplane? Yes.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. At that point,
I just wouldn't watch the movie.
Uh-huh. What if you were on, like, a bus or a train? Would it be better?
Yes, but only a little.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know. I vehemently, honestly, disagree with this. I think it's well worth the sacrifice and quality for what you make up in you know, getting to watch something together.
Well, it's not just quality. I very intentionally wear my noise-canceling earbuds for the entire flight because I hate the sound of the airplane engines. Can't stand it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's like I don't want to have airplane sounds in one ear, just full blast, and then the other ear be slightly covered and then just have the faint glimmerings of a little bit of movie audio in that ear.
Did you guys
and probably only half of the audio.
Did you guys consider starting the movie on both of your devices and just hitting play at the same time? And watch
well,
the
reason that
screen?
I could watch it was because I had it downloaded.
Oh, this isn't on, like, a streaming platform?
Well, I downloaded it on a streaming platform, but, yeah, I wasn't streaming it. It was downloaded.
That is so sad. Well, I'm so sorry to hear that's how it went. I wish things could have gone differently. Also, you say it's unfortunate that I didn't get to have Hans as a seatmate on the airplane at any point. I really disagree. I was asleep for... I would say 5.5 of the combined 6 hours of flying, you know?
You know, you were asleep a lot, but I got to give you credit, JC.
Yeah.
You never once did the thing where you lean back and have your mouth open and just look ridiculous.
And by ridiculous, do you mean grotesque and ugly?
I wasn't going to use those words, but...
But they would be accurate.
I mean, someone could reasonably describe it as such.
Because I don't think someone reasonably would describe it as ridiculous. Because it's not a ridiculous look. It's like an ugly person in that position will look like that. Gross and ugly.
I would call it a ridiculous look.
Maybe you could say they're so ridiculously hideous. Like, in that context, the word ridiculous maybe applies. Like, it's unfathomable that someone could look that chinless and ugly.
It is pretty remarkable. I can't deny that.
Yeah, but I'm glad to hear that that's no longer the case, or at least it wasn't the case on these two flights. But you don't even know. You weren't even with me on the second flight.
I was still glancing over. Don't you worry.
Okay. I appreciate it. No, I don't know what it is, but sometime in the past couple years, I have developed the ability and have capitalized on such of being able to just knock the fuck out once I get into the air. Not even. Sometimes I'll fall asleep on the tarmac. And so I really love it. Flying's become just so much more pleasant because now instead of feeling like a long day, you just get to sleep for a whole bunch. It's a bunch of rest. Not the most comfortable rest all the time, but rest nonetheless, you know?
Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Airplanes make me incredibly sleepy. So tired. They make me want to fall asleep so bad.
Yeah.
But I never fall asleep.
And you've tried out like the little neck pillow situation.
I have tried neck pillows.
Shit.
I've tried, like, because I had the sweater on this flight. Didn't help. And, like, that is basically a blanket. and a pillow. But I just, I have no way to, like, maneuver myself comfortably in those seats. They're too small for me.
Have you considered bringing maybe, like, a CPAP device with you on the plane?
How would that help?
I don't know. Maybe it's, like, something related to your breathing. Maybe it's not, like, you can't get comfortable. Maybe it's, like, the passages. The air can't flow properly for you to get to sleep. It's worth, like, a shot, I think, you know, if we're just testing things out. Because we can't make you smaller. You know?
I mean, I guess that's true, yeah.
I mean, we could make you, like, skinnier, I guess, if we, like, start starving you. But I don't think that would make it more comfortable. You'd just be hungry on the flight. So, I don't know. We can work on it. Maybe bigger airplanes is the way to go. Or, if you want to, like, lay across the seats, you could buy all three of the seats.
That sounds like a good option.
Really large people do.
I don't know. I just think I'm destined not to fly on airplanes, and I need to accept that.
Oh, wow. You're going to just be landlocked?
No, like, I'll still fly.
Oh, okay.
Also, why would I, like, even in that scenario, I could still go on boats.
Well, I mean, would you go on a boat to, like, get to Europe?
That actually sounds kind of cool.
Yeah?
Like a Titanic type of cruise sort of thing?
Greta style? No, not a cruise. You got to do it in, like, the most earth-friendly way possible. Right?
Why? What?
Well, I don't know. Just, you know, I was inspired by Greta. The only person I can think of who travels from continent to continent via boat is Greta Thunberg. And she did it in, like, a really small boat that doesn't kill the earth. You remember this?
No.
Yeah, she travels in that little boat. So that way she doesn't hurt the planet.
I'm going to be so honest. I think she's just afraid of flying.
You think so?
Yeah.
And all the, I don't even know how to phrase it, all of her activism is really just out of that, is inspired by her fear of flying.
No. Okay, I think her activism is rooted in her autism and the fact that she has been manipulated into believing these things.
Oh, wow.
But, like, the airplane thing, I think she's just afraid of flying and is using her activism to justify it.
Or maybe it's just a lot of synergy between her activism and her fear, you know? It's not like one's motivated. Like, they're amplifying one another in a way that's beautiful, not in a way to be criticized.
That's beautiful?
Yeah. She probably had a great time on that boat.
I kind of doubt that.
Oh, okay. But you don't get seasick or anything.
I don't know. I've not been on many boats in my life.
Yeah.
So it's fully possible that I get seasick. I can't think of a time, though.
A trip to Europe is probably not the time to figure it out, if you have sea legs or not. And also, how much time off from work are you going to need for that? A cruise is going to take so long.
True.
Whatever. I mean, these are problems for you. I'm just going to go
sleep. Maybe I start small with a Caribbean cruise, you know?
Okay. No, that makes sense.
Because there'll be lots of stops on little islands, so if it really sucks, I can just get off on one of the islands and fly back.
It's so true. And then there's always, I don't know, what I enjoy too is the thought that maybe you miss one of, maybe not you, maybe you get to witness someone missing their boat and, like, running for it, and just knowing that their whole entire week is ruined, you know?
Why would I want that?
I don't know. You ever see those videos, though, of the people running toward their cruise ship, and all the people on the cruise are filming them? It's a really sad scenario.
I don't think I've ever seen one of those, to be totally honest.
I've seen a few of them in my day of someone just missing the boat. Like, they've just rolled up the ramp, and they're not letting it back down. And they just have to stand there with all their luggage as they watch or not even all their luggage. Honestly, it's probably a fraction of their luggage because most of it's on the cruise still. And then they're going to have to figure out how to fly to the next stop of the cruise, and then that way they can get back on the boat. And it's just so much of a hassle and financially inconvenient, and you miss out on part of the cruise, really would wreck someone's vacation, you know?
Sounds like it.
Almost like one's obligations in Fort Worth, Texas, wrecking their vacation.
True.
Guys, Chargal left us early on the trip. We heard rumblings of it. We talked about the idea of it back previously on the podcast about how Chargal may or may not have to leave the Chicago trip early. I thought, there's just no way this is reality. There's just no way that can be true. Well, it was true, Grayson.
And it was just as cringe as we expected.
Just as cringe. And also, similar to the people that missed their cruise, Chargal missed her flight home and had to buy a whole new flight.
Yeah.
Which is tough.
Which, you know, I feel like if that happens to you, what you do is you book your flight for a later day so you can finish out the trip.
You're like, already so much has been sunk into this that we may as well just extend the trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that. And maybe if she loved us, that's what she would have done. But we see how it went, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, at that point, you don't even have to use the excuse of, like, oh, I'm sick. You're just like, hey, I missed my flight. I can't be back.
Yeah, but that's not the best excuse in the world, because if the worry is that she's going to seem irresponsible and, like, she doesn't care, a missed flight is not going to help that perception. If anything, it'll amplify that perception. She's so irresponsible that, well, you know. But in fairness to Chargal, she left with what I assumed was going to be plenty of time to get on her flight. We left like a little over 2 hours before her boarding. And even then, Grayson, we sat in security a couple days later. The Chicago airport, O'Hare, it's a mess.
It's awful.
It is. And then
actually insane how bad it is.
Where all like the baggage check is and where you start lining up for TSA, it's so overcrowded that like all the ADA people that with all the helpers getting pushed around in wheelchairs, they can't even like go anywhere. Like there's just all like constant yelling for people to get out of the way for the people in wheelchairs. It's insane. And then if one person just decides to stop in the middle of the hallway, everyone's stuck, you know? There was this one bald dude in front of us that just decided the perfect place to stop was in the narrow hallway where no one could walk through to get to TSA. And so he held us up for like 30 seconds as he just stood there looking around. And then I said, go! And then he started walking.
Yeah, very, very poor design.
Yeah, I don't like the Chicago airport. I've spent a little bit of time in the other airport, and I think it's Midway, because I had a layover there that got canceled. I was there for like 12 hours overnight. It was really not the best time in the world. But way less crowded than O'Hare. I think for future reference, that other airport's the way to go. It's also so far outside of the city, the airport that we use. It's like 40, even if we had a car, it'd still be like a 40, 45 minute drive. Instead, it was a 90 minute public transport commute, you know?
I think part of it is just that O'Hare has a lot more flights that go out of it.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. And I think they may be an international airport, whereas the other one is not. So. But Gray the Gray, our initial commute from the airport to our Airbnb on day one of the trip, it didn't feel quite so bad because we split it up with a nice little birthday visit to Portillo's.
Portillo. I love Portillo's.
Portillo's is what, Gray the Gray?
It's a Chicago-style restaurant. They just serve hot dogs. They got Italian beef. They got burgers. I don't buy the burgers. Uh-huh. I do get the hot dogs and the Italian beef because they're wonderful and amazing.
Would you describe it as fast food?
Yeah. No, that's fast food.
Okay, because I couldn't tell. I always thought it was fast food, and then when we went inside the Portillo's, it was massive and, like, really well decorated and, like, had, like, its whole little ambiance figured out. It didn't feel like fast food once you were inside of there, you know?
I would say it's, like, nice fast food, you know?
Yeah, at least the decor and everything. I would say the food pretty on par with fast food. Like, quality-wise.
Okay, well, whatever.
I love some fast food. You know, I love a Schlotzky's. I love a Pizza Hut. I'm not this hater of fast food. I grew up in the mecca of fast food. That is San Antonio, Texas, you know? So this is not inherently derogatory.
Feels kind of derogatory.
Well, I mean, I can be derogatory. The food... I mean, listen. It was a veggie hot dog, so I can only set my expectations so high, you know? But I've only had a couple other veggie hot dogs before in my life. One of them being at my work, where it's fucking awful. And then the other one being at IKEA, where it's really good and $2, you know? But in both these instances, the hot dogs were either $2 or free. This was like an $11 hot dog, and it was okay, you know? Veggie hot dog, to be clear.
Whatever.
But that's not even... The hot dog was fine. You know, I wasn't expecting wonderful things. It's a veggie hot dog, right? But what I was expecting great things from was the cake milkshake that Steven started talking about during our arrival at the Austin airport earlier that day. Stephen was trying to assemble a team of willing individuals to devour a cake milkshake, Grayson, which I believe is a milkshake with a whole piece of cake shoved into it.
Yeah, a whole slice of cake.
So Stephen got the chocolate one and shared it with a number of people. I got the smaller version of it in the strawberry lemon cake form, okay? Strawberry lemon milkshake, okay?
Yeah, it was foolish on your part.
Well, I'll say it was actually pretty good and, like, weirdly refreshing for being something that's, like, so heavy, you know? Like, the lemon
of it all.
For
something that's 1,300 calories.
Yeah. And then I got to the bottom, which is, I guess, where the cake had sunk, you know? Right to the bottom of the milkshake. So instead of getting more of wonderful milkshake, the second half of the milkshake instead was all cake, which is kind of exciting. It's going to be this lemon cake with all the strawberry ice cream, like, seeped into it. That sounds really good, you know? I don't know what the fuck was wrong with their cake, Grayson. It had no flavor, and somehow none of the milkshake had penetrated it. So it was just dry, flavorless cake at the bottom. It was filthy. Hans tried it, and he shared a similar sentiment.
What?
Yes. And, like, I don't know what was wrong with it. Like, I don't think they put a lemon cake in it. I think they did, like, lemon and strawberry ice cream and just put, like, a flavorless cake at the bottom. And
just
again,
bread.
Yeah, and then again, it didn't even soak up any of the milkshake. It was just dry and gross. So I was a little let down by that. But
I feel like that's a skill issue because, I mean, the chocolate one, no weird clump of flavorless cake at the bottom.
Yeah.
Cake fully dissolved in shake.
That
sounds
great.
I don't know what you did with that.
I mean, I didn't do anything. I just took it as was from them. I took it at face value, and again, it was pretty good for, like, the first, like, half or so of the milkshake, I will be honest. However, where I'm docking the most points from Portillo's, and I hope you can understand this, as someone whose favorite food in the world, I do believe it may be outranking bread at this point, is cheese. I love cheese, Grayson. I got a side of cheese for the French fries, which was on their menu. It asked me, do you want to add cheese for $1? And I said, you know what? This is one of Grayson's favorite restaurants. Let me go for it. Grayson, it was, I don't say this lightly, I think it was, like, among the top five worst cheeses I've ever had.
It's basically gas station nacho cheese, yeah.
Yeah. And so I didn't even, like, use it. I used ketchup instead. But
yeah, I wish you had asked me about it beforehand because I would have warned
you. I'm sorry.
It's just gas station nacho cheese. It's
yeah. So, I mean, that was my Portillo's experience. And what makes me so afraid, Grayson, is that I had such a, like, I left with, like, kind of like a neutral feeling about it. You know, I don't hate it. I don't love it. But what scares me is that I went into that Portillo's so hungry. And usually if I'm so hungry, I end up loving whatever I'm eating. You know what I mean? So I can't dock it points for that, but I worry about if I went there feeling like normal hunger levels.
I'm sorry, JC, that you're just so wrong and blind.
I mean, again, I'm not their ideal customer. This is clear. I got the veggie dog. I got the strawberry lemon milkshake and shitty cheese fries. You know, I just, this, a lot of it was self-inflicted.
Really just heartbreaking stuff, honestly.
It had nice ambiance. It had nice ambiance. I loved that it was a building big enough to easily fit a few hundred people. And the occupancy, the max occupancy, was 45.
Was it really?
Yes. Right by the door, it said max occupancy 45. And then, like, that's, like, the size. That was, like, the max occupancy for Mindy's Bakery. It was insane.
I think something's off about that. I'm going to be so for real.
Yeah. No, like, maybe 450. But, like, Hans started counting the tables. And, like, just in our section, there were, like, 60 seats.
Are you sure it said 45 and not, like, 450 or something?
I am so certain. Hans looked at it. I looked at it. I got Chargle to look at it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. But, yeah, that was Portillo's. Did you enjoy your Portillo's day one?
I did. I got two Chicago-style hot dogs and an Italian beef extra dipped. It was fantastic. It was wonderful. I loved it so much. It was good.
Let's go. And then my only other note from day one is that we tried ordering our groceries from Instacart because we didn't have a way of reasonably transporting the groceries. Like, we didn't have a rental car or anything. So we'd be, like, walking the streets with all of our bags, which I was getting a little frustrated before we placed the order because it felt like Hans and Chargle kept on pushing for us to, like, go in person to get groceries. But the closest grocery store was, like, 2 miles away, and then again, we'd have to get the groceries back. And I kept advocating for ordering the groceries for delivery. And eventually that is what we did. I just didn't understand why there was the initial resistance to it. I would have hated bringing all that back, you know?
That would have sucked.
Yeah, I think so. But we ordered it using Instacart. We get all the orders made. We're preparing for our breakfast competition. We're getting all the fix-ins. Grayson, we spend like an hour putting together this order in Instacart.
Mm-hmm.
We input your card information. We hit pay. And then they suspended my account. Instacart canceled the order and suspended my account. It was my first ever Instacart order. And that's what they did.
Well, obviously because you were breaking the rules.
I think it's because my name is JC Cola and I used your credit card for the order.
Mm.
So they were like, within 8 hours, they'll respond to my appeal. And my appeal has to include my ID and credit card, like photos of both. So what I did is I sent photos of my ID, your credit card, and your ID. So it's really cool that Instacart now has all of that available to them.
Yay.
Woo-hoo. And then during that time, I was so frustrated. I went to the liquor store with Chargle and Bim. Was Steven there? I don't know who went. I went to the liquor store and I was like, you know what? This is not my problem anymore. I'm done. And by the time I got back to the Airbnb, Hans had sorted it all out. Instacart had reactivated my account. Thank goodness.
Massive W.
Massive. And we ended up getting our groceries. It all worked out. But I will not be using Instacart again, I fear.
I can respect that.
Yeah. Also, I'm in Texas. Like,
We got favor.
Yeah, I shop at HEB anyways, so I'm just going to use their thing. But day two of Chicago Gray the Gray, I started off the day with a little bit of breakfast. Well, a lot of bit of breakfast. The first bit of breakfast I had was with Steven and Hans. We went to Mindy's Bakery, which is CM Punk's favorite bakery in Chicago. And it was awesome. It was epic. Steven and I got matching hats. And then we had the Uber back to the Airbnb because we didn't have enough time to take the bus back or to walk back because we had to get there in time for the breakfast that you and Chargle prepared for everyone. It was Team Tomorrow's Tomatoes.
Yeah, somehow we ended up going first. I remembered to bring my apron and my chef's hat. I was all kitted out. Chargle did not bring either.
I guess she hates you and your team.
Yeah, I think that's the only conclusion.
In fairness, but we did crepes. I don't think she got a hat. I think there was only one chef hat.
No, there was two chef hats. There was a white one and a black one. I kept
the black one. Oh, you're right. I forgot there were two colors. That's fucked up of her.
Literally.
I'm sorry she did that.
But yeah, we did crepes. We did crepes with a bunch of little fruits and toppings and Nutella and like little berries that you could put on it and whipped cream. And I cut up all the strawberries to look super nice. I made little roses out of strawberries, which Bim immediately destroyed. And she was also the first person to make her plate. So that was cool.
Yeah, everyone kept being like, oh, presentation. And by everyone, I mean you. Kept explaining the presentation was good. That everything was organized real nice, real pretty. But I did not see that. I saw a mush of strawberries, you know? Just a pile of strawberries with no rhyme nor reason.
At one point, it looked really nice. I even made the French flag out of the butter to go on the crepes, blueberries and raspberries.
Well, I didn't see shit. Yeah. It looked like a mess. Okay. But I don't know.
Really destroyed my great creation.
I have to be so honest. Crepes have never really been my thing. I used to love them growing up because my grandma would make them. But you're familiar with my grandma's cooking. For her, there's no limit to the amount of sugar and chocolate and more sugar that she's willing to put into a meal.
Yeah.
And so my crepes growing up were like super thick and fluffy, covered in chocolate syrup, powdered sugar, and cinnamon sugar. And I love them.
So basically, chocolate cinnamon pancakes.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, really, truly. So that's my ideal crepe. And what I got instead was probably more akin to an actual crepe. And I don't like them that much. I think they're pretty bland. You know?
Well.
Which I can partially hold that against you. But I tried to go into it as objectively as possible. I tried to make my crepe as well as I could. But I left pretty much only tasting the chocolate chips in my crepe. You know?
Yeah, whatever. I thought they were pretty good.
I gave it 3 big booms. You know?
Yeah, whatever.
Like, that's pretty good. For a meal that I didn't really enjoy, I feel like 3 big booms is pretty... Because I trusted you. I took your word on the presentation. I didn't see the flag. I didn't see the strawberries. But I trusted you. So you got those 3 big booms. You know?
Yeah. But at least Steven gave it 5 big booms.
Listen, you can take that up with him. You can take that up with him.
Oh, you mean because the days later he decided to change it?
No, not days later. It was actually seconds later that he changed it. But you chose to remember the 5 big booms.
No.
Oh, okay.
He rated it 5 big booms.
Actually, when he said he gives it 5 big booms, that was actually what set the rating scale as booms. We had not established Indeed. That precedent yet. That was day one of the breakfast competition. And I don't know. I heard from your teammate in Tomorrow's Tomatoes that she did all of the work. Is that accurate?
She cooked the crepes. I cut up all the fruit. And plated everything.
What fruit got cut up aside from the strawberries?
No, it was just the strawberries.
Oh, okay. I understand. Yeah, she said she was getting frustrated because you kept telling her to make more crepes. But it seems she did a good job.
Yeah, she did great.
Where do you weigh in? Like, because you, I'm going to assume, are more familiar with the crepe than I am.
It was pretty good.
Okay. That's nice. I believe like your collective score was somewhere around like 4.25 big booms. BIM is the official list. I don't know. It was somewhere around 4, I feel like, the final score. But later that day, we went sightseeing around Chicago. We went to the Bean, Grayson. We went to a Harry Potter store. Also, when we got to the Bean... We were taking some photos, like, first thing, as you do when you arrive at the Bean. And we were getting kind of uncomfortably close to this group, this couple in front of us. And so, because we were, like, I don't know, maybe, like, 2.5 feet away from them, like, on top of them, I made, like, not eye contact, but I like, kind of, like, locked in on what they looked like. It was my sister and her boyfriend. It was Zoe and Dr. DJ just right next to us at the Bean. It was crazy.
It's especially crazy that we tried to take a picture immediately behind them.
We did. Like it was
prior
it was
to
truly,
realizing it was them.
Truly insane. But yeah, we saw Zoe and Dr. DJ there at the Bean. We hung out with them for a little bit. We went to the Starbucks Reserve Roastery, which sucked. And yeah, it was good seeing Zoe and Dr. DJ, you know?
I feel like the Starbucks Reserve Roastery would have been actually pretty good if it wasn't so unbelievably crowded.
I think so too. It's just like it felt like you're kind of like in Times Square a little bit, like just how packed it is. Like it felt like the M&M store, but you're supposed to sit down and drink coffee and alcohol, which the M&M store is not the ideal environment for that. It's so hectic, you know?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's a
just
cool concept.
Not the right atmosphere for it.
No.
And I don't know how you fix that either. Like, how do you make fewer people show up?
More floors. 10 floors instead of 4.
Thoughts? Just add more floors, more bars, more everything.
Yes. And more bathrooms, too. Because from what I hear, it was not a very efficient bathroom system.
I feel like we went to a lot of places that weren't particularly efficient on this trip.
What do you mean by that?
Starbucks, TSA...
Oh yeah. I will say I love the city of Chicago as a whole, I think. After having visited
Chicago's
this
sick.
One time, I really like it. It feels like a cleaner, smaller version of New York a little bit. And public transport's really easy to use, figure out.
Much cleaner, too.
Yeah, it's way cleaner.
It's still filthy.
Though, yeah, I will say I saw more rats on this trip than I did all of New York trip when we were there.
Didn't you see one rat?
No, I saw three rats.
You saw three rats?
Yes. One of them was the, you know, when Hans and I walked to get pizza on our last day? It was a pretty much like empty walk all the way to the pizza place. It was pretty late at night. And this couple that was on a date, I presume, was approaching us. And like right when we got within like a couple feet of one another, a rat zoomed in between us, like in between the four of us. It was fucking gross.
Yeah, I didn't see any rats on this whole trip.
But yeah, no. Three whole rats. One of them was, oh yeah, I guess you weren't there. One of them was with Bim and Hans at a bus stop. There was a rat that climbed into a telephone pole. And then a man came up and performed magic for us. And he never gave us his name, unfortunately. You know? Which is sad, I think. It's quite sad. But many a rat in Chicago, which I can't hold it against them. You know, rats are cool. Rats can be cute sometimes. Speaking of rats, Grayson, our breakfast the next morning, rats were involved. Is this not accurate?
This is true. I don't fully understand the theming behind it.
Can you describe what we ate that second morning in Chicago?
So we had croissant breakfast sandwiches.
Uh-huh.
But prepared then beside by... it, we had a little pastry, a little round pastry with chocolate inside and a licorice tail. They were meant to be little rats.
Meant to be.
To go with the sandwiches. The rats were delicious. The rats were very good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we have opposite views on this plate. This was the meal prepared by Team 5 Feet Under, Bim and Steven.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, breakfast sandwiches on croissants and little rats. And what I really appreciate is that one of the items, one of the only items in our grocery order that they were not able to fulfill and instead got a replacement for was Bim and Steven tried to get my favorite candy on Earth, chocolate Twizzlers. However, they did not have the chocolate Twizzlers, so they got regular Twizzlers instead. And that served as the rat's tail. So I appreciate the effort that went into it. But I don't know. I don't love a baked pastry for breakfast, generally. You know? Like, I want a little bit of savory in my breakfast most days. So I way preferred the breakfast sandwich, the croissant sandwich that was prepared by Team 5 Feet Under. But the rat was good. I don't think it was bad. It's just I would never choose to eat it, you know?
I think I'm with you in that I generally prefer a savory breakfast. But I just hated that breakfast sandwich.
Hate is such a strong word.
It was bad.
Uh-huh.
And it was, I think, exclusively because of the sauce.
I enjoyed it so much, so I ate two of them. There was one left over. The sauce was unique. I definitely don't love the sauce, but it wasn't bad enough to turn me away from it. But on my second sandwich, I just doused it in hot sauce, and it tasted great. You know?
See, that I could get behind. If it was just hot sauce, that would have been fine. I talked with Steven about it, and he thinks I got the sandwich where he put way too much of the sauce on it.
Uh-huh.
And so the sauce probably didn't help either.
The sauce was mayo-based, from what I remember.
I don't know.
I think it was. He said he mixed maple syrup and mayo. If it was mayo-based, it tastes
like the mayo was bad.
Hot sauce. But
it's not pleasant.
Yeah.
Not good.
I mean, they also made potatoes, but very few of them. Like, I think there were like four or five potatoes on my plate.
The potatoes were either really good or really bad. They were like either really overcooked to where they were crispy and it was actually pretty decent, or they were just oily to no end.
Yeah. I think
those I did not care for.
Got primarily the light and crispy ones, which were good. I wish I had more potatoes though. I was left wanting, which is maybe as a chef what you want. Leave them wanting more. You know, and they did. I went in for a second sandwich. So
I definitely did not go for a second sandwich.
Yeah. I thought Team 5 Feet Under killed it, especially relative to their performance last year.
Yes. Marked improvement.
If you remember correctly, they prepared the Jurassic meal we ate in Richland, New York, which we won't bother rehashing here. But it's wild to me how hard Steven and Bim still ride for that meal. You know?
It was so bad.
Yeah, and they really don't see that, you know? They really think we're just overhyping it, that we're making a mountain out of a molehill. But it was a mountain.
Well, I feel like Bim was really, really trying to defend it this trip.
Yeah. It's like,
which
you
baffles
didn't even
me,
eat any of it.
Because I don't think she ate it. Yeah.
No, she didn't. Maybe she ate a chicken nugget. But that was a small fraction of the whole entire meal. And in reality, she probably didn't even eat that. She probably had a peanut butter sandwich. So, I don't know. I don't know. It, marked improvement for Team 5 Feet Under. They won the week for me, as far as breakfast goes. And their little rats were cute, too.
Yeah, the rats were fun.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
I couldn't get past that sauce. Everything else in the breakfast sandwich was actually pretty decent. The eggs were cooked well. The, like, I don't know if that was, it was bacon, right?
It was sausage.
Was it sausage? I don't really remember. But I remember
thought
the,
you
sausage
didn't like the
being
sausage.
Good. I think it was because I thought the taste of the sausage was the taste of the sauce, and then when I realized there was a sauce and that's why it tasted like that,
understood.
Suddenly it made sense.
This makes sense. And then later that day, we went to the beach. That was our beach day, and we met up with Huma and Milo, our best friends.
Yep, Huma, prolific listener to the Boy Oh Boy podcast.
Huma is one of Chargle's dance partners from 4 years ago. And we met him in person. He's so sweet. He's so nice.
He was a really nice dude.
He works at Joffrey Ballet in Chicago. And he has such a cute dog. It's awesome. It pissed on these other people.
That wasn't very cute.
I mean, it was a little cute. Also, what I really enjoyed, too, is at one point, Huma brought this little, like, stick ball flinger thing. It flings the tennis ball for his dog to go catch. And at one point he just totally misaimed and chucked it at Bim, like just feet away from her. And
she probably
deserved
it.
So apologized. Yeah. Ultimately, like, while it was unintentional on Huma's part, I'm sure ultimately, like, karmically, I believe that's the word, it works out, you know?
Yeah. It was meant to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Bim was worried that I might leave her with a bruise that'll be visible during her pageant in a couple of weeks. Which is tough.
Oh, that would actually suck so bad.
Yeah, that would have been quite bad. But I don't think that happened, you know? But we had a beach day with Huma. Huma also took us to his apartment. Well, to the lobby of the apartment complex to use the bathroom. And it was so weirdly, like, fancy and empty. Like, there was, like, a marble statue and, like, hints of a library, if that makes sense.
It looked like the building had previously been a very fancy hotel and was now just kind of like mid-tier apartments.
Which I don't know if you heard him say, but he did confirm it. It did used to be a hotel.
Oh, well, that'll do it. Yeah.
Yep. So it was a nice little lobby. I got one of my favorite pictures of Steven ever, of him being a performative male reader in front of the marble statue. It's awesome. It's my cover image for my August playlist on Spotify, of course.
We did run into a lot of performative readers.
Yeah, yeah. I will say Chicago is full of two things. Gay people and performative readers.
True.
So, shout out to them.
Many of both.
Many of both. That night, we went to the Green Mill Jazz Club or Buzz Mill, something Mill Jazz Club. And it was a cash-only jazz place, jazz center, jazz bar, where I guess Al Capone used to frequent. At least that's what they say. And it was an experience, you know?
JC, you can be honest. It kind of sucked.
We put it on the docket because of Chargle. She loves her jazz, you know? This is primarily why we went. But the fact that it cost $20 just to get in as the cover, and then there was nowhere
There's
to stand
no space.
Or sit. Yeah. Like, if Portillo's
what is the point
occupancy?
Of having mm-hmm. What is the point of having a doorman and a cover if you're not going to limit the number of people that actually go in?
It's kind
I swear
of
the
absurd.
Only limiting factor of how many people went in was, oh, can they get past the door at this very moment?
I think that's 100% accurate. Somehow we found a table. It just happened to be the table at the very back of the bar where there was no view of the stage.
Yeah.
So that's where we were position for pretty much the entirety of our stay there. The drinks, they weren't they weren't like absurdly priced, but they weren't cheap either. So I think we all only got like one drink there. And also it was confusing because the bartender refused to serve us because we were sitting at a table, and then we never got a waitress. Or we did. It was like an hour into our stay there. So it wasn't ideal. Like, the music was fine. You know, I'm not like this big jazz guy. Good. Yeah. Like, I would have preferred to have seen the stage, because I went in there being like, oh, I don't care if I see the stage. It's like, we're here just hanging out. But I didn't realize it was a situation where, like, oh, you're not allowed to talk during the performance. Like, they scold you. Because if it was like, oh, we just hang out and talk, who cares? You know, there's just some nice jazz music in the background. But it was like, no, here's the show that we're all here to see. And it's like, well, I can't see it. So what are we doing? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I probably wouldn't. No, not probably. I will not go back again. But it was a nice. It was a nice little part of the Chicago experience, you know? I guess. I liked standing in line outside more than I liked being in there.
Honestly, kind of true.
Yeah. But we did the jazz club, like, for Chargal because she likes her jazz, and she was going to be leaving the trip early. In fact, she left that night at, like, we left for the airport around, like, 2:30 a.m., 3 a.m., and I went with her, Hans, and Bim to bring her to the airport to bid her adieu. I really did not realize how long of a trek it would be, Grayson. It was, like, 3 hours just to get her, like, to the airport and to get back to the Airbnb. It was fucking insane. So I got to sleep around, like, 5 a.m. that morning.
And then you got up and made breakfast.
Well, breakfast is a strong word.
We ended up eating at, like, 1 p.m.
It was closer to a lunch than anything. But Hans and I made the two of us, make up the team Young Green Cox, the final team in the cooking competition. Last year, we made our famous quesadillas. And this year, we're going to tone things down a bit. We're going simple, okay? If we're making breakfast, we're going to make breakfast the right way, you know? We're going to stick to the basics. We're doing French toast, hash browns, and eggs. And isn't that what we made, Grayson?
No.
What do you mean?
No.
Why don't you describe your experience with the Young Green Cox breakfast?
It was all green and all slime.
No, not all slime, just a lot of more slime than there should be on a breakfast plate. Sure, but it wasn't all slime. Let's not be silly.
It was quite a bit of slime, and even the stuff that wasn't slime was shockingly slimy.
That is true. And I will say, even if there's only a dollop of slime in my breakfast, that's too much slime.
It was insane.
Yeah,
everything was green. I still don't know if I fully understand the bit there. Was it green eggs and ham, or was it the Young Green Cox thing?
There was no intention of doing green eggs and ham. That was just put on to us. People forced the green eggs and ham narrative onto us. We're called the Young Green Cox, so we just made our food green. We were like, we're making a pretty boring breakfast. What can we make it to, like, a little bit more unique? And we said, what if we just dyed all green? Use, like, green food coloring and edible glitter, you know?
Yeah, bad idea. Terrible idea.
No, good idea, bad execution.
No, bad idea and bad execution.
Why is it a bad idea?
Because I struggle to think of an appetizing way to make bacon green.
Bacon?
Yes.
We did struggle with that one.
Yeah. If you could explain to me what an appetizing piece of green bacon would look like, then I will agree with you that it was a good idea, bad execution. But until you can do that, then even conceptually, it fails. There's no execution in which it turns out correctly, so it could not possibly be a good idea.
Listen, I don't know why. Grayson, it was getting so late into the morning. Hans and I were both awake, but Hans was showing no signs of starting cooking breakfast. He was just, like, on his phone a whole bunch. And I kept trying to initiate, like, so what are we going to do? Like, trying to start the planning? And he, like, just wasn't budging. And so instead of, like, keeping on pestering him, I just started up on, like, getting everything ready for our breakfast. And by the time Hans joined me and, like, I had all, like, the ingredients, like, all pulled out and stuff, I kind of intended on getting started up on, like, the hash browns and the eggs, whatever. But But when Hans came over, he kind of took control, which, hell yeah, shout out Hans. And what we decided that I would make ended up being the bacon, which I've already had this conversation with you a couple of times, but I haven't eaten bacon in over a decade, and I've never made bacon before. So I don't know why I was the one tasked with the making of the bacon. And also, I looked up how to make it online. And because I had never made it before, and I was trying to get a start on this stuff. And Hans just told me not to follow the instructions online and instead do it the way he told me. And so I hate to put all the blame on Hans. I know we're a team, but I struggled. I don't know why that was my job. You know, I make hash browns regularly.
You
want to
know the most frustrating part of all of that, JC?
What's that?
The bacon was easily the best thing.
That's so fucked up. The bacon was covered in green sprinkles and food dye and honey.
I promise you the bacon was by far the best tasting thing.
The rest of it was French toast, hash browns, and eggs. We were a little upset because the eggs were going to end up like the potatoes the other day with Bim and Steven's meal, where we intended to have a dozen and a half eggs available for our cooking. There were three. Grayson, there were three eggs available to us for our cooking of the scrambled eggs, which is unfortunate, you know? But Hans took over on the French toast side of things because he was the one whose idea it was to even make French toast to begin with, you know? Mm-hmm. And then we ended up we just didn't have enough eggs really to even make scrambled eggs. So we kind of just used like the leftovers from the French toast, and then the hash browns, for whatever reason, were the last thing that got put on the stovetop. But the hash browns should have been cooking the longest because they're frozen hash browns, you know. Mm-hmm. So we kind of rushed the hash browns because it was already like 1:30 p.m. before this food is even getting served, and basically, my responsibility, what I was tasked with, was the bacon, which I did all of, and then plating the food, you know, like just getting everything on the plate, cutting up. I also cut up strawberries, making some green whipped cream. That was my job. And so, again, I really hate to throw my partner under the bus, but I promise you I was equally disturbed and upset by the goo oozing out of my French toast.
Yeah, we should probably get to the real staple of the meal, the French toast. Because externally, in terms of green food, that one worked the best.
It looked interesting, honestly. Like, the green color peeking out from, like, the burnt in a good way. Like, the cooked part of the French toast on the outside, you know?
Yeah, I can't make the claim that it looked good.
Yeah.
But it did look interesting. It looked
for what it was.
Like, yeah, yeah. It didn't look immediately inedible.
Yeah. And that's exactly the point. Because immediately it wasn't inedible. Like the edge, like the crust of the bread,
totally
decent.
Fine.
It was reminiscent of French toast. Also, I always thought, Grayson, correct me if I'm wrong, I've never made French toast before, right? Even after this meal, I've still never made French toast. I thought like the cinnamon and like the cinnamon sugar was like in the actual French toast, not just something sprinkled on top. Am I crazy?
That's always been my understanding as well.
Okay, because Hans told me simply to sprinkle it on top. But I thought that was weird because when I go to IHOP and I eat French toast, I never get any of the stuff on top of it. I never get the fixings, you know, the fixins. I just like the French toast as is. Maybe I'll put butter on it. And it always has a cinnamony taste. So I was a little confused why there was no cinnamon as part of the actual French toast.
Well, that wasn't the thing that killed this.
No, but like in my initial bite, I was a little let down by it, you know? Then it turned into horror. Because after getting through the initial outer crust of the French toast, there's no other way to describe it aside from calling it a green viscous goo that started leaking out. Yeah.
It was literally the slime that you would see on, like, Nickelodeon's kids' toys. Just slime.
Also,
all the way through.
As much as I love my partner, if we're both going down, we're both going down. You know, this is equally my failure as much as it is his. Hans, the man whose idea it was to make French toast and who spearheaded this French toast, decided now on the cooking competition was the time to experiment with a new type of bread. He got challah bread for us to make the French toast with.
You know, I've like never even heard of that.
It's like Jewish bread. It used my sister Zoe. It used to be all
potato bread.
I don't know. It kind of looks it. It's like an orangey, fluffy, bulbous bread.
Oh my goodness! Is it potato bread? How do you spell it?
C H A L L A H, challa. I think that's how it's spelled. It's rich and symbolic in Jewish tradition. It's a special, slightly sweet, egg-enriched bread. Central
to
Jewish cuisine.
No, it's not a potato bread. I thought we finally figured out the mystery of how the hell this turned into slime. But no, the mystery remains.
Well, it's egg-enhanced bread, and then we also doused it in more egg. So that could have been part of it, potentially. Just a lot of egginess going on. But I generally like challah bread. And when Hans put it in the order, I assumed it's because, like, it was more ideal for French toast. But he just went on a
Google AI thing for challah. Uh-huh. It says, enjoying challah. Challah is delicious on its own, served with dinner, or used to make French toast.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So
I guess it wasn't the challah bread's fault.
No, we can't blame the bread.
Something went awry somewhere else in the process. My guess is that maybe there was a little bit too much food coloring and it was cooked on too high of a heat for too little time. You know?
Yeah.
Like it just didn't get to cook all the way through, even remotely. And so, yes, it was slime that I found inedible. I ate all of my potatoes, which had a distinct lack of any flavor whatsoever.
Oh, we forgot to mention drinks. For your drink, you had green milk.
Green whole milk with a sprinkle of cinnamon per Steven's request.
Yeah, the cinnamon did not help it, JC. I'm going to be so for real.
I didn't even taste the cinnamon.
Work.
I didn't taste any cinnamon in my thing.
And then for our drink, this is also a thing that I did in our meal, is I made a little, like, I don't even know what to call it, little sunrise, but they were with Chardonnay and orange juice.
It was a mimosa.
With grenadine to make the little sunrise thing. Yeah, mimosas.
It was pretty decent. I don't like a mimosa just because it has a whiny, footy taste, but it was pretty good for a mimosa, you know?
W.
Yeah. Steven and Bim forgot to make their drink. I don't even know what they were planning.
Oh, I did end up trying Steven's drink. It was a Starburst-based drink.
Oh. Why do they let him... Whatever. And by they, I mean Bim, I guess. But when Steven...
It was orange juice, sparkling Starburst water, and something else. I think just straight tequila.
Ew. No, it was not tequila. We didn't have tequila at the apartment.
Not tequila, vodka.
Oh, okay. Starburst water sounds fucking filthy. That sounds horrible. But the drink looked good. I saw when Steven made it for you. It looked aesthetically pleasing. And on the rim was a strawberry. And yeah, Young Green Cox, our drink was green milk.
Which, like, I didn't mind that part. It was a little weird that it was green, but I like milk.
Yeah, it was like the Fairlife milk, too, that Steven likes. So shout out, I guess. I don't know. It was good. It was milk. I don't know what you want from me. It was milk. I did the milk, too. Let me be clear. I also did the milk. That was also part of my responsibility. It was coloring and serving the milk.
Yeah, it sounds like everything you did turned out pretty okay.
Yeah. And again, I don't want to throw Hans under the bus. But if I didn't, I fear I wouldn't be able to tell this story honestly, you know?
How was it slime?
Not only were the potatoes really undercooked and mushy, they had no flavor. I've never had such a flavorless potato. I don't understand.
Yeah.
And the eggs were fine. It was. I'm not that picky with my eggs. It's just eggs. They were
shockingly out of everything. The eggs were a little, later, a little overcooked.
Yeah, they were a little tough, but again, they're eggs. Like, I don't know, I've had way worse eggs.
Yeah.
But they were a shade of green that was fucking filthy.
Yeah.
But I love that. I love the shade of green. It looks truly radioactive, the meal, when it was all plated up and done. So I do think it was a massive failure on behalf of the Young Green Cox. An okay idea with just among the worst execution imaginable. And so next year we hope to redeem ourselves in whatever the next cooking competition is. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, you know?
Are we ever changing teams on the cooking competition?
I mean, we talked about it last year, and everyone said no. So we could revisit it, but I feel like everyone's going to want to not swap again.
All right.
Do you want to swap? Are you done with Chargal?
Yeah, I'm kind of done with Chargal.
God damn, okay. I mean, we could always trade partners. You could always get a Hans, and I could get a Chargal. Or we could put together Hans and Chargal, and the two of us tackle it, boy oh boy, style. I think what's important is we leave Team 5 Feet Under intact.
Oh, yes. That team must stay.
Good, good. I mean, we can consult. I'd love to keep Hans as my partner, despite how much I've shit on him in this meal. Like, I don't think Hans is a flawed cook. I think we had an off day, you know?
That was a really off day.
Listen, we went to sleep at 5 a.m., okay? Not that that's an excuse, but it certainly wasn't helping matters, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. And I'm man enough to own that. Because, again, I'm part of the team. If I had noticed things were going awry, I should have stepped in and been like, Hans, let me fix this, or let me attempt to fix this, which I didn't do. So, my failure as well. Again, ideally, next year there will be some redemption. Kind of like Team 5 Feet Under had this year. They were our official winners of the cooking competition. Much to your chagrin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's pretty much it on the cooking competition front, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Next year, do we want to, like, go back to dinner, keep doing breakfast, switch up with a lunch? What are you thinking?
I'd rather do dinner. Between breakfast and dinner, I think I prefer dinner. Yeah. In part because I think dinner gives us more variety.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And then on top of that, like, the slime messed me up for a while that day.
Yeah.
And it was already halfway through the day. So even though it didn't mess me up nearly as bad.
Yeah.
As whatever Jurassic. The hell that Jurassic Park meal was. We only got it halfway through the day. And even the little bit of time it messed me up was most of the day at that point.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. I understand what you're saying. For fear of harming our friends, it's best to save it for later in the day. Also,
yeah, and then, like, we don't have to worry about, like, oh, we were up till 5 a.m. and therefore our meal was at 1.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say too that, like, the intention was, well, we're gonna be in Chicago, we don't want to limit ourselves, like being back in time for dinner. But I feel like it would have been fine if we just had a bunch of late dinners, because we spent, like, at least a couple hours together every night, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't think next trip will be, like, a big city anyways, so going back to dinners will make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was a good little one-off, the breakfast, I think.
It was something.
Yeah. Yeah. But next trip, the Young Green Cox are going to emerge on top. We're the only team without a W, you know?
I hope you guys can pull it off.
I really do, too. I was discussing with Hans that we need to figure out what we're going to make now, and then just keep making it over and over for the next year until we get it, like, to perfection. So that way we have no room for error on the trip, you know? Which,
okay.
Again, after such a colossal failure, it feels necessary.
It was really remarkable how poorly it went for what should have been a pretty straightforward breakfast.
Especially because it smelled so good. Like, during the cooking, it smelled great. You know, like the bacon, the cinnamon. You even came over to the kitchen and said it's smelling good.
Yeah, I was smelling the bacon, and the bacon did turn out to be pretty okay.
But
I will say I didn't much care for the honey whatever glaze that you put on. That was
bad. We were discussing whether to. I don't even fucking know. Again, I don't have any idea. I think we were trying to figure out what would be the easiest to make the bacon green with, and honey was the determining factor, or the one that we landed on, rather. You know, just the easiest to turn green. But didn't go quite the plan. We'll figure it out. The young green cocks will have our day, you know? Just you wait.
Okay.
Just you wait.
You bet.
And then just like a brief little rundown of the rest of the trip, Grayson. Stop me where you want to. We went to the art museum later that day of the Young Green Cox breakfast. It was a great time.
We also
I
went to a
it.
Harry Potter store at one point. That was the
we already mentioned
day.
That. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did we?
That was 2 days before the Young Green Cox. That was when we were around the Starbucks Reserve. But yes, we went to the Harry Potter store, which is like huge. The day of the art museum, we also went to Demo's Pizza, which is CM Punk's favorite pizza place, and the Barnes & Noble. The Barnes & Noble trip has inspired in me that I really want to buy this book from Barnes & Noble. Do you remember the name of it?
It was like Birthdays or something.
Yes, it's. I have the photo.
The Hidden Power of Birthdays.
The Secret Language of Birthdays. I highly recommend. I think that's such a fun little novelty book to have. Especially like doing tattoos. I feel like that's such like a cute little book just to have out for people when they get bored, you know? Mm-hmm. So excited about that big find. The art museum was really, really cool. And then later that night, I joined you guys for the second day of your Rocky marathon that was happening.
What did you think of Rocky 2?
I really enjoyed it. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Because, yeah, Bim, Steven, and I all watched Rocky 1 the night when you, Hans, and Chargle all went out drinking till like 3 a.m., I think.
Well, we didn't go out drinking till 3 a.m. We went out drinking till like midnight, and then we sat across the street talking to this man. Who lived across the street from us. I already forget his name. But understood, yes.
But we watched Rocky. Rocky was a banger. Rocky 2, banger. The following night, we watched Rocky 3. Rocky 3 is pretty good. And then Rocky 4, banger.
Hell yeah. I will say, I think I enjoyed Rocky 2 the... I don't know. I think I enjoyed Rocky 4 the least, if that's okay for me to say. I didn't watch the first one. Not on this. I've watched it before, right? But not on this trip. On this trip, I watched 2, 3, and 4 with you. And I think 4 was the one I was least into, if I can be so honest.
I can respect that, but you're wrong. I don't have an issue with Rocky 3. Rocky 3 is still pretty good.
It was fun.
But Rocky 3 has already kind of fallen apart in terms of the storytelling to where it's not going to be on the same level as Rocky 1 or 2. Those two, storytelling-wise, are fantastic.
What I really love about it is his developing relationship with Apollo. I think it's so sweet and nice, and that's what the movie feels like kind of based around.
Yeah, but it's already kind of off the rails.
Okay.
But it doesn't lean into being off the rails like the fourth movie does.
I see. I guess so. I also maybe was really benefited by how upset Steven was the entire movie, which I found really entertaining.
Yeah, that was probably the most entertaining part of the movie.
Yeah. But we had the whole big Rocky marathon. The next day we went to Chinatown and we saw Tiger, of course. Tiger, who I went to college with and has now been part of a couple of our friend trips in some limited capacity.
Somehow. I don't know how that keeps happening.
Yeah. And then the last day of the trip, our last full day, we went to the Field Museum, which is like a big natural history museum in Chicago with dinosaurs and animals and ancient history, you know?
I know you said you prefer the art museum, and I can respect that, but I thought the Field Museum was sick. I thought that was great.
I imagine for what it is, like among those kinds of museums, it's probably up there as like one of the better ones, but I just, none of that stuff is what I'm interested in. I don't derive any joy from looking at a bunch of dead animals or like ancient artifacts. Whereas at the art museum, it's like, oh, I can look at all these cool paintings and sculptures. You know?
You fool.
I guess so.
But it was sick. Field Museum was sick. Art Museum was sick. I got to see a painting by Friedrich Edwin Church, who's one of my favorite artists. We took a photo in front of it.
So true.
There was a bunch of Sargent. I'm a big fan of Sargent, so that was cool too.
Yo. We got to
and
see
then
some,
there
like,
were, of course, the famous ones as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got to see some, like, household name paintings, like a number of them.
American Gothic, Nighthawks. Nighthawks, I love. Big fan of that painting. We got to see Van Gogh's self-portrait, or one of them at least.
The one without the farmer's hat.
Yeah.
And then what's the big one that everyone was standing at? It looks like a giant park. It's very light and pastel-y.
Oh, the pointillism piece. I don't remember the name of it, but it's also famous because it's in Ferris Bueller.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, that I feel like that was by far the most crowded painting at the museum. And then we didn't get to go to the Picasso exhibit, but they have his super famous one of like the weird-looking yelling man, like all crumpled up in a ball.
From his blue period.
Exactly. Exactly. And then I feel like those were most like super famous pieces. But this had a lot of really cool, fun art. I enjoyed it. I love an art museum. I'm sad we were only there for 2 hours. We kind of had to cut our trip a little brief, but, you know, it happens.
Still pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. But the last day, we went to the Field Museum. We met up with Parker, one of your friends from the streaming world. Poor Parker was waiting there for about 3 hours before we arrived because Hans told him that we were going to get there at 10 a.m. And when Hans told me that, I said, wow. We haven't really been early risers this trip. And then everyone proceeded to either not know about it or sleep in. Parker was there waiting for hours.
I didn't even know Parker was meeting us at the museum.
Uh-huh.
Until Hans told me Parker's been waiting there for an hour.
Great. Epic.
So, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that's rough. But Parker too perturbed by it. Parker was super cool and chill.
Yeah, Parker was a good sport. Thank you for not being awful about that. We deserve you being a little awful about that.
And then afterwards, we split up into two groups. Myself, Hans, and Parker all went bouldering at some rock climbing place. It was my first time ever doing it, and I still feel sore, so sore from it all. But it was really fun. I really enjoyed it. I'd like to do it again. And then you guys got... Well, we all got caught in the rain and just ended up being soaked rats. But you guys were so deterred by it, you went home.
Yeah, so here's kind of how it went. The way the map showed getting onto the bus stop required us to walk on a sidewalk that didn't exist. And so we decided to go around the back of the museum and then out through like this back area that would take us to a bus stop. Perfect. Wonderful. No worries there. As we're walking around the back of the museum, it begins to kind of like drizzle a little bit. And we're like, okay, let's take a quick stop underneath this tree. It'll light up and then we can go the rest of the way. Did not let up. It just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And by the time that we're absolutely soaked, we're like, okay, well, there's no point hiding under this tree anymore. We need to just get walking. We start walking a little bit, go find ourselves underneath a bridge. And we are not getting any drier at this point. Like we're just soaked all the way through. And so we kind of think, okay, we want to go to the Glossier store and I wanted to go to the Ralph Lauren store. Those are the two locations we wanted to go. No shot we're getting there without umbrellas. Right? Because even if we get to the first store, we then have to walk to the second store. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to do a lot of walking outside anyways. And so we come up with this plan. We're like, okay, we have to get to the bus stop either way. If we can get an umbrella, we can go to the stores. So we go to multiple stores, mind you, grocery stores, so like our odds were low, but we go to multiple stores trying to find an umbrella unsuccessfully before eventually we just give up and are like, we're not finding an umbrella. This sucks. We're soaked at this point. We just want to leave. And so then we go home.
So sad. So devastating. Yeah, that... It was a lot of rain. It was an insane amount of rain, so it's understandable. Like, we didn't go straight to the rock climbing place after the rain because we needed a change of clothes, so we went to a Target instead first and bought, like, just new clothes because otherwise it would have been just the most miserable experience. So it was pretty bad, but we made it work. Everything went okay. How was your time at the Airbnb that night?
I went bad. It was actually pretty chill.
Nice.
Just hung out. Got dry.
One of my favorite
kind
things,
of just cuddled up. It was great.
One of my favorite things from this trip is the just universal terror it inspires in everyone when Steven has a hold of the remote for the television.
Oh my goodness.
I think it's so fucking funny that he will just put on whatever his heart desires and all of us are then witness
subjected
to it.
To just the garbage.
I really like it. I really enjoy it. I don't want Steven to think this is me shitting on it. I have some of my best times when Steven just has controlled the remote, you know?
I
really love how upset everyone else gets by it.
Well, because here's the thing. He will say, hey, is it all right if I put this on? And you say, no, I'd really rather you didn't. And then he puts it on.
Yeah.
Why?
He did do that a few times. Other parts of the trip that are worth mentioning. No medieval times. There ended up being like a breakage in their water system, so they canceled on us. No medieval times, which is sad. And we also forgot to get a cookie puss for our birthdays, which is also sad.
Devastating.
Yeah. But Gray the Great, we've been recording for almost an hour and a half. Do you think it's time for us to ride off into the sunset?
Oh my goodness, yeah. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, okay. Let's go ahead and do it. Let's get back to our days. But until next week, goodbye, everybody.
Adios!